Nice to be here. My name is Yannick. I'm from BrainBot, and I'm here with Kevin from the Ethereum Foundation. And we're going to talk a little bit about P2P networking in Ethereum 2.0, or how we call it now in Serenity. I will start and give a little bit of background and try to introduce you to the problem that we're trying to solve, and then and also show some simulations to see if our approach makes somewhat sense. And then I will hand it over to Kevin, who will talk about the implementation of all that stuff. But let's start with the very basic things, our goals of networking, what we actually want to do. We have some nodes that produce data, and others want to obtain this data, so we need a way to distribute this. And that way, the way how we want to do this, it should be efficient, it should be fast, and it should also be safe. What kind of data? In the original Ethereum, it's mostly transactions and blocks, and the important thing here is that all nodes basically download the same data, so there's no distinction at all. Basically, all nodes do the same thing. In Serenity, things get different, mostly because of sharding. And sharding means we basically split the data up into different shards, and one particular node only downloads the data for that particular shard. So that way, we can save a lot of bandwidth. I plotted in this picture, it's 8. In reality, it's 1,000. But 1,000 are too many to draw in this picture, but just to, yeah. In addition to this shard data, we also still need some kind of global data that all nodes download. This is the beacon chain data. From that, we can basically infer how nodes should connect to other nodes. In original Ethereum, all nodes basically are the same, so one node simply basically picks randomly from the set of all nodes and connects to them. In Serenity, things will be different. If you pick peers, you first look at what shard you're assigned to or what shard you want to download, in this example shard 3, and then you pick peers from that shard so that they can give you useful information. So here we have three additional nodes from shard 3, and then in addition to that, we pick nodes from the global set that can provide you with beacon data, in this example 1 and 7. And then we can basically abstract from that. Essentially what you do is we now have two networks, and in one is the shard network, which consists of all the nodes that are connected to a certain shard and are connected to each other. And then we have the beacon network that consists of all the different nodes, and in this network only the beacon data is transmitted. Now another thing that's different to the existing Ethereum network is that we have a new class of nodes called the validators. They are quite similar to normal nodes in that sense that they are interested in the data that belongs to a certain shard, but in addition to that, what's different to them is that they only care about the recent history, so they don't download like the whole chain up until Genesis, but only the recent history. And another thing that's different is that they switch regularly between shards, because they basically get assigned to a new shard which they're supposed to validate randomly. And a third thing that's different is that they want not that the rest of the network knows that they are validator or which validator they are, because they stake some ether, and so they want to have extra protection. And if people would know that they are validator, they might get attacked. Now that's basically all the changes we have. Now we need to think about what protocols we have. Basically, there are three functionalities. And the first one is we need a way to find suitable peers, and that's done by a discovery protocol. The second thing we need to do is to distribute data, and we do this using a gossip protocol. And finally, for new nodes that join the network or validators that are assigned to a new network, a new shard, they need a way to synchronize the chain or the history of the chain using RPC calls. I will not talk about the last thing, because that's basically there's basically no difference to how Ethereum 1.0 does it, but I will focus on gossiping and the discovery protocol. So what's gossiping? Gossiping is a very simple peer-to-peer protocol that's being used in a lot of projects, including Bitcoin and including Ethereum 1.0. The idea is we have one node in the network that has produced some data, and it wants to inform the rest of the network of that data. So what they do is they pick a random peer and send this data to them. And now we have two peers that know the data. And in the second round, they basically do the same thing again. They pick randomly new peers and send the data to them. They do this a couple of times, and after a few rounds, the whole network knows the data, and that's a very simple static protocol that's also very efficient, and this process is also very fast and safe in case of network failures. We want to apply this in two different settings, gossiping, once in the Shard networks and once in the Beacon network. The difference between these two settings is that in the Shard networks we only have few nodes, because they distribute themselves over the whole set of nodes distributes themselves over the different shards. But we have comparatively high throughput, so a lot of data is transmitted there. And in the Beacon network, we have a lot of nodes, because all of the nodes in the network participate here, but it's much less data. So we did some simulations to basically answer two questions. The first one is, can the network handle the numbers we have, or the settings we have, and how fast does it is the propagation? How much time does it take to propagate data? And to do this, we needed an implementation, and we used GossipSub that's been designed by Lippy2P, and we'll use in the end. And we implemented that, and then another thing we need, if we do simulations, we need to make sure that they represent reality in some sense. And in particular, we need to know what the connections of that the nodes have with each other, what bandwidth they have. And fortunately, there's a scientific paper that has measured this, and we just picked those numbers from the current Ethereum network. And here's what we got. We basically looked at how much time it takes to the propagation of a message through the network over time. So at beginning, time zero, no one knows the network, so no one knows the message. The message is created at time zero, and then it starts to be transmitted or propagates through the network, and at some point it reaches one, meaning that the whole network has seen the message. And we did this for a couple of block sizes. One thing I forgot, this is for a shard, so for a single shard network where we have maybe 1,000 nodes. And the numbers we get here is, so the first thing we see is that it works. So it's not like it takes forever or it does never reaches one. Messages are always transmitted. And the larger the block size, of course, the longer it takes. But for a small block size of 100 kilobytes, maybe it takes 2 seconds. And for larger ones, it gets longer and longer, but even 1 megabyte is still 8 seconds. Now, another thing we should look at is what bandwidth is actually used. And we see here, this is a histogram of all the nodes and how much data, what fraction of their bandwidth they use. We see that most nodes use about 20% of their bandwidth, and some a little bit more, but no nodes use more than 60% of their bandwidth. This is important because it tells us basically two things. The first one is that we are not operating at capacity even at large block sizes. So if there were nodes that use 100% of their bandwidth, we could be pretty sure that they will not keep up in the long run. And this is not what's happening. And the second thing is we see that there's a lot of bandwidth available if we get new nodes that join the network and download new data and shards that download the data, because this only simulates the propagation of data that's created newly and not synchronization of chains and so on. So that's good. And now we looked at the Beacon network, where we have a lot more nodes. I simulated here 100,000 nodes. And we see the same thing, basically. At time zero, a block is created, and it propagates through the network, and it, at some point, it reaches all the nodes. Block sizes are smaller here, 64 kilobytes to 512 kilobytes. We will see how large they will be in the end. And here, even though the network is much larger, we still get propagation times of a couple of seconds. So this seems to work very well, and we are happy with that. Peer discovery, that's more complicated. The job of peer discovery is to find peers in the beacon network and also to find peers in a specific shard. And this is the challenging, or one of the challenging points here, because there are a lot of shards, and if you just pick a random node in the network, you need to pick a lot of them to find one that's suitable to you. So we would like to have a way that's more efficient than that. We also need, this also should be very fast, so that validators who are assigned to a new shard can start operating as quickly as possible, so that the dead time is as short as possible. And fourth requirement is that the validators, as I said earlier, they would like to be private, and if it's easy to discover them using this discovery protocol, then yeah, this is not good. We are considering a bunch of options here. Three seem to be viable. The first one is Discovery version 5. It has been designed by Felix from the Ethereum Foundation to be used in the existing Ethereum network, but it actually has some nice properties, meaning that we can could maybe use it for us as well. So, and it looks very promising, I think. Second one is a simple variation of Kademlia, and the third one is to simply use a global gossiping channel to propagate the shards we the shard preferences in some sense, which seems kind of brute force, but it might actually be viable. But we are still not finished with that. We're still evaluating. Yeah, but that's it from my side, and now Kevin will talk about implementation.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin, and I'm going to introduce the P2P implementation status on our site. So this project is named Sharding P2P POC, and it is a proof of concept of the current design for Ethereum 2.0 P2P layer, and we implement it using the P2P. So what is the P2P? It is a library that has many useful peer-to-peer networking components. So you can choose the components you want or you need to build your own peer-to-peer applications. And currently, we're using the TCP components and the Kademlia DHT and PubSub. And the goal of our project is we want to see if our current design meets the needs of Ethereum 2.0. And we also want to see if the P2P fits our needs. And it can also serve as a temporary layer for Ethereum 2.0 networking Python implementation until the Python libP2P implementation is ready. So the requirement for our networking layer for Ethereum 2.0, the clients should be able to subscribe to one or more shards. So in this graph, the client subscribes to two shards, one is black and one is red. And the client should only receive the data from the shards it has subscribed. So in this case, the client should only receive the block in black and red instead of the blue one. And the time to subscribe to a shard should be short, which means a node should be able to find the shard peers in a short time. So the design. Currently, we map the shards to topics in PubSub. So the concept of the PubSub is subscribers subscribe to some topics, and they should only receive the data published to those topics. In this way, each topic forms a separate channel, so we can segregate the shards with the topics. And about discovery, we use boot nodes for new nodes to join the network and to find the initial peers. and we use Kademlia DHT, and to discover sharp pairs, our current approach is we have a global topic for nodes to broadcast the shards they're currently subscribing. So if a node wants to find a peer in a specific shard, it can do it through subscribing the topic. And we're still exploring other options. And each node provides the RPC for other nodes to request for data. So currently we support the request collation. Collation is the block in the shard. And we're going to change to use libp2p daemon. So what is a libp2p daemon? It is capable of supporting libp2p across languages. And if you want to use it, you need to implement the bindings. So as you can see in this graph, the left-hand side is the libp2p daemon. And it is a standalone process, and it handles the libp2p components. And you can control the daemon through the Unix domain socket. And currently, it supports multiple methods. So the identify, you can get a peer ID from the daemon, and you can connect to other peers, and you can open streams to other peers, and you can set up, you can register a function to handle the incoming streams. And the DHT operations and the PubSub still underway. And this graph shows how we will change our structure. So in this graph, the blue ones means the part we need to implement. And the left-hand side is still the Go, and right-hand side is Python. So currently, we implement our logics both in Go and Python, and we handle the communication through gRPC. And we're changing to use libp2p daemon. And in this way, we can move all of our logics to Python side, and we need to implement the Python bindings. And after PyLibp2p is ready, we can use it directly. So all of the logics will be all of them will be in Python side. And about the implementation status, so we have finished the essential functionalities, so including the joining, subscribing to the shards, and broadcast data to the shards and request messages. And we have a global topic for discovery and content validations, and we have a tracing for the testing. And we have the bindings of our code for Python. And what's in progress? So the white block team, they're supporting us to do the testing with network emulation. And we're still doing our own deployment and testing for a testnet. And we're also implementing the Python libp2p daemon bindings. And we still have to finish the peer management and reputation mechanism and do the further optimization for the overlay. And we currently will have cooperations with the original Ethereum P2P designers, and we got a lot of advice from them. And the Protocol Labs, they support us on the libp2p and PubSub. White block help us to do the testing things. And that's it. So I want to give credits to Felix and Anton from EF. They gave us a lot of instructions, and the great work from my colleagues. Yeah, thank you.
Yep. If anybody in the audience has any questions, well, there's one right now.
Was the propagation data you showed and bandwidth utilization data based on testing on a local area network or a global network?
Neither. So it was a simulation. It was running all on one machine, but we simulated the latency and the bandwidth between these nodes.
Based on a global network latency?
Yes.
Hi. My question is, I know before there's the dev P2P implementation, and now there's the ETH 2.0. My question is, If the previous implementation is kind of going to, everything is going to be switched into lib P2P, or there's going to be different areas there. So in the dev P2P right now, there's no lib P2P implementation. There's Academilia for discovery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in this version, you're showing that lib P2P is kind of everywhere.
Yes.
So
our current plan is to just use lib P2P and not use dev P2P for the Serenity stuff.
And you're going for the Go implementation in lib P2P?
Yeah. Currently, yeah. But okay. We have a grant for the Python lib P2P implementation. So after it is ready, because we implement in Python, so after it is ready, we can change to that. So other...
And this is why you also have the Unix, the daemon, right?
Yeah, the daemon is to solve this problem. So you can communicate for different languages. They can use the daemon and without the actual lib P2P is implemented.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions from the audience? Are there any comments from the audience? They like it.
Thank you.
They like you guys. All right, great. And that's it. Round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you.